This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. We have a couple of gas-related stories for you from the news recently. One of them has to do with the sticker on new cars that tells you how many miles per gallon that car is going to get, which in some hybrid vehicles could be in the 30s, could be in the 40s. And in fact, Kia recently announced that they have a car that is getting close to 40. And Honda has announced that their 2014 Accord Hybrid reached the 50-mile-per-gallon plateau. But the EPA says those numbers are not correct because once you drive it out of the test conditions and into the real world, where temperatures can have an effect on cars and so can so many other things, that it could be 9 to 10% lower for a gas engine and 20% lower for a hybrid. Meanwhile, gas prices this week stayed above $3 a gallon. It's now been more than 1,000 days that they have been above $3 a gallon. The national average is something like $3.50. And who's responsible for that? Well, my next guest says it's not really the factors that you're told. It's actually a system of distorting oil prices so the oil industry can make more money. His name is Raymond Learcy, and his new book is called Ruminations on the Distortion of Oil Prices and Crony Capitalism. Ray, welcome to America Weekend.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
So when I talk about gas prices staying above $3 a gallon for 1,000 days and hovering at about $3.50 or $3.60 a gallon, that's not anything to do with the way the world is consuming oil, but it has to do with them rigging the system against us?
Well, that's my assessment, certainly. I think that I find that the price of oil is a manipulated and speculated price, that it no longer reflects the discipline of supply and demand. I mean, you have oil prices that are determined largely on the commodity exchanges. And where once upon a time oil was traded as a barrel of oil, a physical product, today oil is traded as a paper financial instrument. And for each barrel of oil that is consumed, it is traded in terms of the amount of trading that goes on the commodities exchanges. There are 30 barrels traded for each, 30 paper barrels traded for each physical barrel of oil. And that lends itself to all manner of distortion and all manner of manipulation.
Now, you have been in the commodities trading business for several decades now, and so you have seen this firsthand. But if I understand what you're telling me, when I see the gas price at my local gas station go up 15, 20, or 25 cents a gallon in one day, that's not because of some crisis somewhere where a nearby refinery blew up and we couldn't get the oil to the local gas station, right?
Not in my opinion. To me, the distortion begins at the well, not at the pump. I mean, oil is the major factor in the determination of gasoline prices. And as the price of oil goes, so goes the price of gasoline.
Right.
And let me just give you a quotation that was made almost 25 years ago by, at that moment, one of the great wise old men of the oil business. His name was Leon Hess, and he founded Hess Oil.
Mm-hmm.
And he was giving testimony before a Senate committee, and he said the following: I'm an old man, and this was on November 1st, 1990. I'm an old man, but I'd bet my life that if the Merck, which is the New York Mercantile Exchange, was not in operation, there would be ample oil and reasonable prices all over the world without this volatility.
Wow.
And a man of that stature saying what he said then, and our government and its oversight agencies have been asleep ever since in monitoring what is happening and what should be done.
What should be done?
Well, I think there should be investigation. I mean, for example, to begin with, Congress mandated that the Commodity Futures Trading Commission set a limit on the number of contracts any given trader can hold in trading on the commodity exchanges for oil. That was in January of 2010. The CFTC has now for 3.5 years studied the problem.
Studied.
And, you know, when you look at some of the members of the CFTC, its chairman is an ex-Goldman Sachs man. You know, one of its major commissioners used to work for the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. The access of, you know, influence and big money on all of these regulatory agencies is so enormous that, you know, any kind of meaningful change is forced into silence.
Who is getting rich from all of this, Ray? Is it the oil companies themselves, or is it the speculators in commodities?
Both. The oil companies, very definitely, and the speculators as well. Now, you know, we have the oil companies are very well-heeled, enormously wealthy, and they have access. And then you have many of the trading desks at the oil companies. Then you have the hedge funds and the Wall Street firms that have oil trading desks. Not only trading desks, but you have a company like Morgan Stanley that has facilities all over the nation storing oil and distributing oil products, blending it, et cetera, et cetera. This is a bank that has your and my deposits, which are guaranteed by the government, and has access to the federal discount window so that they can have money at virtually no cost. And they use that money to increase the commodity trading of oil, which in turn makes gasoline and all of these other petroleum products, heating oil, etc., more expensive for each of us.
So they are buying this stuff up and holding it to create a false sense of supply and demand. It makes it seem like everything we hear about, oh, you know, there's turmoil in the Middle East and that's going to affect supply and demand. Sounds like what you're telling me is, no, that's not true. It's the companies like Morgan Stanley and others who are manipulating the market.
Well, you know, manipulating is a very strong word. I have no evidence specifically as to manipulating. I can only have my hunches. And it is, you know, it certainly seems to me that something absolutely bizarre is happening. And not only is it happening, it is happening being funded in part by us, by the Federal Reserve, by the guarantees that the government gives to the deposits that are made with these banks. They're using that money to, you know, to enrich themselves in the trading of these products without really giving back an iota of meaningful value to society at large. And this has gone on now and continues to go on, and nobody does anything about it. Nobody says anything about it.
We're talking about a multinational business here, the oil industry. So are other countries trying to regulate it, or is it all going to come down to what's done here in the U.S.?
No, I think... I think other countries at least are giving lip service to it. The European Union initiated an investigation several months ago on the pricing of oil. We've heard very little from them. The other countries, you know, let me give you another example. You know, Farmer Jones plants corn.
Mm-hmm.
And Farmer Smith plants wheat.
Mm-hmm.
They harvest their wheat once a year, and their corn once a year. They'd like to see the price of that wheat or corn as high as they possibly can get it.
Yep.
Right? And Farmer Jones and Farmer Smith really don't have the means to impact trading on the commodity exchanges. So that in large measure, not altogether, but in large measure, the price of wheat and corn and things like that reflect a much clear definition of supply and demand.
But the oil industry is so big that they can do what they want with it. Raymond Learcy's book is called Ruminations on the Distortion of Oil Prices and Crony Capitalism. Thanks so much for joining me here today on America Weekend. America.